Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller. By the way, before we get to our guest, very quickly, I've thrown a poll up.
Yeah, I heard about this. What's going on?
Should Gord Miller ride his bike to work tomorrow?
Here's the issue I have. So I rented a car today because we're a one-car family.
Okay.
So my wife needs the car with my daughter to go pick somebody up, and they're going visiting. So, but they need the car again tomorrow, and I got to return the rental car. So the question is, do I keep the rental car or just bike here tomorrow? So Google Maps says an hour and 15 minutes from where I live. I'm going to say there's some significant hills.
Some sweet lather when you arrive. Yeah. You'd have to probably jump in the workplace shower.
No, I'm coming in hot, baby.
All right.
What's the poll say?
Very heavily so far in favor of you riding your bike. And, of course, you have to hold to it since we've posted it.
What?
Yeah. All right, let's go down to San Antonio right now from the San Antonio Express News. We're going to attempt to pull the curtain back a little bit, if we can, on Kawhi Leonard. Jabari Young, good enough to take some time to join us. Jabari, thanks for your patience as we went through the poll question there. What is the reaction in San Antonio to what up here in Toronto is appropriately being classified as the biggest trade in Raptors franchise history?
Well, I mean, I think people down here are relieved and happy that, you know, all of the hoopla is over, you know, involving Kawhi Leonard. You know, as great as a player as he was, you know, a lot of people down here were getting frustrated at the rumors and, you know, what did his camp want? What do the Spurs want to do? So it reached that level of fatigue. And, you know, once that deal was pulled off, it was just like a sigh of relief. You know, I know for a fact I was relieved. You know, that's a certain time you definitely get tired of it. But, you know, obviously they're losing, you know, the Spurs are losing a great player and they're getting back an all-star. You know, and you look at it on paper and you say, wow, then I don't think nobody in the NBA expected them to get back such an all-star like a DeMar DeRozan. I thought they were looking at maybe getting back young players and draft picks, but to pull off a move like that and to not really miss a beat, you know, for a team that won 47 games last year without Kawhi Leonard, and now you add a guy who I call the mid-range king. You know, you guys know DeMar DeRozan can get 20, 30 points in the mid-range anytime he wants in his sleep. So I think people are excited about that. And, you know, there obviously are very few people sad to see Kawhi Leonard leave. But, you know, it's just they're happy it's over. And now they can move on and get they have their team in place and look forward to seeing, you know, how they come together next season.
Jabari, this is an odd question to ask, but what is Kawhi Leonard like?
How can I put that? you know what? He's a very quiet guy. He does have a sense of humor, though. People think that he doesn't have a sense. He has a very a big sense of humor, and you know he prefers to do all of his talking on the court. You know, I think last year, you know, or the last few years that he's been here, I don't know if that leadership quality is in Kawhi, and that's where a guy like Kyle Lowry is really going to be big. You know, in that leadership department. I think Kawhi definitely prefers to lead and do what he does on the court. And we obviously know on paper the accolades, they speak for themselves. You know, two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, you know, NBA Finals MVP. You know, the guys, you know, anytime he plays a game, you know, every season he's going to be on a, you know, defensive team. And, you know, he can get you 20, 25 one way and you know, whoever Nick Nurse assigns him to, he can shut him down the other way. You know, he's very quiet. You're not going to hear a lot of words from him. So if you guys are hoping to lead off, you know, your show when the season starts with a soundbite from Kawhi Leonard, just beware. You know what I mean? Because it can put you to sleep. You know, but he's a great player, and I think you know if you had to say, okay, you talk and give me the soundbite, it'll be a great player. I'm sure you'll take the great player every time, and that's what Kawhi Leonard is going to provide. You know, if he's healthy.
But the issue, Jabari, and the reason I asked the question, it seemed to be, and Greg Popovich alluded to this, that it was his camp. That he always talked about, you know, Kawhi's camp. as opposed to him. Is that the issue?
Well, no, I can say that Kawhi is a very family-oriented guy. You know, anything that he does, it's a collaborative effort that he runs, and he talks to his mom, he talks to his uncle. You know, everything is collaborative effort. You know, people down in San Antonio really got the fans, but most likely got the his perception that Kawhi is just a puppet and there's somebody's pulling the strings. I'm like, no, that's not true. He really values his family. He's always valued his family. He really values his uncle's input because his father passed away at a young age. And so his uncle has been and hit that male figure in his life. So they're a really tight family. And, you know, I'm sure if they could do it over again, they probably would do things differently. And listen, Spurs probably do some things differently either because nobody's blameless in this. It was sad to really see a relationship that was supposed to go years and years. It was sad to see it end, but it's over. And Toronto now is getting one of the top three players in the NBA, again, if he's healthy. And that's something for that fan base to look forward to because Kawhi Leonard, the man is legit.
With Jabari Young of the San Antonio Express News, you're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050. Jabari, I mean, you're with the team every day. You're talking to all the players. There have been comments attributed to Tony Parker who then either disputed the exact meaning behind them or walked them back or however you want to describe it. Other teammates have been asked and spoken out to varying degrees on the whole Kawhi situation. What did the locker room, generally speaking, believe about this Kawhi situation last year and how much of it was a distraction eventually, if at all, because he never really was around?
I don't buy the whole around thing. You know, I don't. And I think Tony Parker's comments were taken out of context. If people went back and listened to everything that was said, he was asked what advice would he give Kawhi, and that line, you know, that made headlines, pops up. You know, I'm sure Tony probably would take that back because of the way that it sounded, the way that it was perceived. But, you know, obviously, was it the distraction? Absolutely, it was a distraction. I mean, every single time we see Kawhi Leonard walk into a gym or at a practice facility, we're looking like, hey, is he coming back? Is he coming back? And then you start getting, you know, mixed messages behind the scenes. Hey, he could be back this day. He could be back that day. And then players are put in that position of having an answer for Kawhi Leonard because Kawhi wasn't talking at that moment. So, yeah, it was definitely a distraction. It really was. What are a few guys in the locker room, you know, mainly Tony Parker, maybe Manu Ginobili, who were frustrated by the whole situation? Absolutely. But there were also other guys like Kyle Anderson and Rudy Gay and Danny Green, who you guys are also getting up there, who had Kawhi's back. And they were basically telling him, hey, don't rush it. You know, wait until you're 100% healthy. Because we obviously know what this NBA is, and it's a business. And look at Isaiah Thomas. Look at Grant Hill. Look at all the players who have rushed back from injuries or have not properly healed their bodies, and look at how things turned out. So I think that was the message that was filtering through, you know, from other guys behind the scenes. So, you know, there was definitely a lot of frustration because, listen, if you have Kawhi in that lineup, the Spurs are thinking about, you know, getting out of the West. They're thinking, hey, look, we're just as good as the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. We can beat anybody if we had our best player, too. So I think that's where the frustration came from, is that the fact that they knew that if he was on the court, that they can win basketball games and they can possibly beat anybody that's put in front of them. And it didn't end that way. So, you know, there was a lot of frustration behind the scenes from that perspective. But I don't think it was any hatred. But, you know, it was just, like I said, you have guys like Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, who are in the last few years of their career. They're trying to win. And I think, you know, they were basically trying to find out, hey, are you coming back? Because if you're not, we need to know who we're going to war with, who we're going to battle with. And I think that's where it stemmed from. But, you know, just at the end of the day, it was just a lot of miscommunication and a lot of frustration in the air that just, you know, turned that season. You know, by the time the Spurs were eliminated out of the by the Golden State Warriors, it was almost like a relief because they needed that, you know, that time to start the healing process.
Jabari, I'm interested in having you expand on a comment you made previously about how nobody is blameless here. And in the last couple of weeks, I've likened the Spurs to the New England Patriots. Like, they are the Patriots of the NBA. And I acknowledge they're no longer the best team in the league, no longer the best team in the Western Conference, not necessarily even the best team in their own state. I mean, that's the Houston Rockets as we sit here right now. But if you go back over the last quarter century, it's inarguable that they have been an incredibly stable organization. Greg Popovich, David Robinson on to Tim Duncan, and moving forward with Ginobili and all of those great players who've gone through there. And so I'm wondering if, in a league that is driven by individuals and brands and true superstars, the Spurs were the concept of team. The Spurs were the brand. Popovich was overseeing everything, kind of like Belichick. And so I'm wondering, in that nobody is blameless, where does the blame lie with Kawhi, and what were some of the inappropriate actions of a franchise that, what, maybe took itself a little too powerful? Like, how did all that work out?
Well, I mean, on the Kawhi front, I mean, listen, when you go back and you review this thing, maybe years down the road, and you look at what was done, I mean, the messages that were sent, from, you want to say his representatives to the team, were they clear? Were everybody on the same page at the same time? And you had to believe that that wasn't the case, because if it was, there's a good chance Kawhi Leonard would still be in San Antonio right now. Did they have a problem ceding control over, Kawhi Leonard's health and getting second opinions? And, Greg Popovich, when we asked to update Kawhi, him saying, hey, you got to ask Kawhi and his group. It's those type of small things that may have been a little bit irritating, to Kawhi Leonard and his representatives. And on with the team front, maybe they were a little disappointed that, Kawhi wasn't, maybe around more as far as to be with their medical staff instead of seeing outside medical staff. And maybe that ticked off Kawhi and his representatives. Like, hey, we're trying to get second opinions because we feel we were misdiagnosed. We feel that you guys didn't tell us 100% what was wrong with him. And so now we're getting this second opinion. Was everybody on the same page? And so when you go back and you retrace the steps of everything that happened, I'm sure that there are things that the Spurs say, hey, we probably could have did this differently. I'm sure Kawhi Leonard's camp probably say, hey, we probably could have communicated this differently. And if everybody was on the same page, again, it probably could have had a different result. So, listen, when everybody looks at the Spurs' greatness and that they are a great organization, the history says it, and you walk into that arena, there's 5 championship banners hanging. But as I continue to tell everyone, Tim Duncan, David Robinson set the tone. Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker fell into place. When you have your 2 top guys who are setting everybody else in line, it makes Greg Popovich's job easier. This is a new NBA, okay? Guys are going to – players are taking more control of their careers. Outside influences are having a bigger impact. It's not just the agent anymore. It's the family members. It's the friends. It's different. And the Spurs don't have Tim Duncan around anymore. He's done. He's retired. And so, you maybe have to look at that and say, okay, how are we approaching this new NBA? It can't just be our way or the highway, and I know that that's been the way that it's been down here, but when you're talking about trying to win in today's league, you need stars to do that. And sometimes stars are going to see control. You think, in Cleveland that, LeBron James was, the team rules were set and LeBron James wasn't breaking a little bit of them. I mean, you got to change. You have to change, because if you don't change, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. So, I think the Spurs are using this as a learning lesson, because remember something. This wasn't the first time it's happened. This is 2 straight summers that star players wanted to get traded. Obviously, you save one in LaMarcus Aldridge, and obviously you have to, lose one in Kawhi Leonard. But they had to have gone to the drawing board and say, okay, are we approaching this thing the right way so that way we can guarantee ourselves success for years to come? Because, again, David Robinson is gone. Tim Duncan is gone. Tony Parker is now gone. Manu Ginobili, he's still up in the air. But if he leaves, okay, you can't keep treating guys, today's player, as if they're that group of guys. They're not. Everybody has different minds. Everybody has different agendas. Obviously, the one goal is to win, okay? But if you're an organization and you think that maybe you're not resonating with today's player, then that's on you to go back to the drawing boards to try to figure out how to do that so that way you can win, and that way you can save relationships. And it doesn't have to be, oh, we develop another guy and he turns into a superstar player, but he doesn't like the way we're doing things and we lose him. You can't do that. So believe me, I think this is a learning lesson for the Spurs. And I think going forward, this is only going to make them a better organization, knowing that they're not invincible to today's NBA.
With Jabari Young on the Spurs beat for the San Antonio Express News.
Jabari, any doubt in your mind that in October of 2019, Kawhi Leonard is a Los Angeles Laker?
Yeah, there's a little bit of doubt. You know, listen, I've been in Toronto. I think it's a very cool city. Is it cold as hell? Absolutely it is. Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. But it's a very unique city. And the Raptors now, they're on the clock. Okay, they have from now until next summer to convince Kawhi Leonard that Toronto is the place that he wants to be. And they have a secret weapon at their disposal and a rapper, Drake, okay, that they can use and influence and try to get his influence. And they have a great fan base. So they're on the clock now. And if you look at it from a Paul George perspective, as we did last season, sure, we all thought he was gone. He stayed. You have to use that same type of mindset that we can get Kawhi Leonard to stay. I'm sure Masai Ujiri is thinking in his head of ways to get Kawhi Leonard to sign on. The clock starts now, and by next season, if he's not fully convinced, then you'll lose him. We obviously know L.A.'s on his mind. That's not a secret. He wants to go home. He's from Cali. He's from the Moreno Valley area. He would prefer to be out there, okay? You got to let him know, no, I understand L.A.'s there. You can go there in the offseason. You could go there during the All-Star break, okay? Toronto is the place that you want to be because we can win here right now. It's going to be a hard sell because we obviously know the Lakers are back. They got LeBron James. We see what they're doing, okay? But at the same time, Toronto is not a chopped liver city. They're very good. It's a very good town, very good city. You've got to convince Kawhi Leonard to say, the clock starts now. What are you going to do?
Great insight, Jabari. Really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll catch up again. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jabari Young on the San Antonio Spurs beat for the San Antonio Express News.
What kind of guy is Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, when you get the horse sneeze into the phone.
How do I put this?
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't take that as
I didn't take that as a
negative.
No,
I took
he's just a hard guy. Like,
well, that's the thing. I took it as
he never talks. He's
you don't really.
Have you
get
watched
a sense?
His interview after the finals? Go back and watch the YouTube interview after the finals when they won in 2014. It's the strangest winning interview. I mean, he was the finals MVP. He's obviously happy, but that could have been December 15th in Atlanta.
Yeah. Different people react different ways.
No. That doesn't make it wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's just he seems to be a player, and we've never dealt with him firsthand, but everything you hear is that he is exceedingly quiet, says almost nothing. A lot of people around him seem to sort of indicate what he's thinking or wanting.
Well, this is I hate going too far down this road because we've worked in this industry long enough, Gord, to know that, I mean, people talk to people, talk to people, talk to people. All these reports, it's obviously not Kawhi's concern to control the narrative here. I just think it's crazy how the story arc in the last 24 hours has been reports. Kawhi has no intention of reporting to the Toronto Raptors. We haven't heard anything from Kawhi himself. Then today, reports. Kawhi warming up to the idea of coming to Toronto. But we haven't heard anything
from
Kawhi himself. Now, Masai Ujiri, we believe, is going to hold a press conference tomorrow. He's back from Africa, and the formal sort of Q&A and all that stuff statement will be made tomorrow. I don't think there's any reason to believe that Kawhi Leonard will be there, unless you've heard something I haven't. And would he even hold a press conference? Will there even be that opportunity for the assembled mass to...
You'd find it unlikely. I mean, when he went back to San Antonio and was working out, he did not speak to the media.
He just didn't want...
He might be a guy who worries about things
being misconstrued.
I just think he doesn't
tough situation.
And I've never, you know what? It doesn't bother me when athletes don't talk. Some people aren't talkers. That's fine. It's not their obligation to talk.
Right.
So he might just be a really quiet person.
It's just a lot of people talk around him.
Well, that's it. Right.
Or, well, maybe not even around him. Maybe they're...
But it is one of the strangest stories that we've seen in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years in any sport, where one of the best athletes in his sport is absent for almost the entire season, and no one really knows why. He has an injury of some sort.
Disagreement over the diagnosis is right, but, kind of but, how I mean, it went down.
Yeah, but it's Lindros, right? This was Lindros with the Flyers.
Yeah, and Bobby Clark said some tough stuff way back in the day. This guy damaged our organization or something like that. I remember that. I mean, they've mended the fences now, but then that was back 17 years ago when we had no idea
what concussions
the extent the concussions had of effect
on
guys.
Or if we did, we ignored it. Not we, but teams ignored it.
Well, yeah, it was more ignored, but I mean, you can tell when a guy's lying on the ice half or fully unconscious that there's a problem, but you can't predict or understand the seriousness of the issue over the longer term. All right, the poll question.
Why would you do this? Because here's the problem now.
No, you're not beholden to it, although I think you should be.
I feel like I am. I feel like now, because you put it out there, I kind of feel like I am.
Well, that was the whole point. I mean, to pressure you to be... I was just helping you make a decision. We were having a conversation in a commercial break, and you asked me, should I ride my bike to work tomorrow? And I said, well, how about I throw out a poll question? And I did. And we've got more than 600 votes, close to 650 votes, in like 15 minutes. And 86% of respondents say yes.
But
we also have Brian writing in saying, get off your wallet and buy a second car.
Well, no, because then you got to park it somewhere.
Oh, you got like a single lane driveway type
thing? Well, no, we don't have a driveway. We have one parking spot. We asked to license the second spot, and the city of Toronto said no. They're militant about that.
I see.
So I mean, here's the thing. I don't mind riding my bike to work tomorrow, but then I got to ride it home, which means I don't get home till like 8:30.
Is your wife still out of town? Or she was out last night? Because you're doing the skip the dishes thing this week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm... But they're home tomorrow night. Yeah, I don't know. So they made the mistake.
Well, 86% of the respondents think you need a little exercise.
You know the Miller Tavern on Young Street?
Darn tootin'.
So I was there. I'm meeting a buddy of mine, Pat McElhinney, the other day for lunch, right? Yeah. Pat's a great guy.
It's one of my favorite spots, by the way.
Love that spot, right? Great name. So, rode my bike. Forgetting there's a significant hill.
It's just south of it, but also just north?
Yeah, but I'm coming from downtown.
Yeah.
So I look, because I'm gliding down. So riding back, and I'm just humping to get up the hill, right?
Are you off the seat? Or are you one of those?
Oh, no, I'm fully...
You climb hills on the seat.
And I don't have the clips on my thing. Like, I'm not, but I'm riding. I get to the top, right, where the hill is, and I'm like, oh, thank God. And then the sky's opened. It just... poured.
Oh, you got caught in that.
Yeah. So now I got the rat tail, right? Because I don't have fenders.
See, I don't like talking about bicycle riding too much, Gordon. That's how I seriously injured myself. And I received some guy sitting over there.
What do you mean no sympathy?
I'm just kidding. You were very nice.
But by the way, maybe I shouldn't ride my bike tomorrow because I could get hurt.
No, you're in better shape than me. Do it. 86% of respondents.
How many actual voters?
There were 645 when I last clicked on it.
If 1,000 people vote.
Okay, we're at 665 right now. We're inside like a half hour. 451, I put it up. It's 524.
If 1,000 people vote by 645, I will ride my bike to work.
If 1,000, so we need, oh, here we go. Me trying math live on the air. We need 335 more votes. 335 more votes, and Gord Miller will do a 2.5-hour round trip on the BC Clet tomorrow. À demain. I like that. Let's do it.
And I'll wear my helmet, because you got to wear a helmet.
Absolutely. Our thanks again to Jabari Young. Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer for NBC Sports at 6:30. We'll get back into the Kawhi Leonard situation. Marley Rivera at the top of the 6 o'clock hour, the national baseball writer for ESPN, ESPN Deportes, good friend of the program, on Josh Hader, on the Manny Machado trade, which actually happened.
It happened.
The Baltimore Orioles medical team of like 700 doctors each checked off.
They performed full body scans on all the players involved. analyzed them intensely and decided that they're all going to live to be 150.
Hey, Mr. Oriole's doctor, Miss Oriole's doctor, every pitcher has a little bit of fraying in the elbow.
By the way, the owner, Peter Angelo, is like 90.
Yeah, but his son is...
So the doctors, hey, I'm just saying the doctors might not be so bad.
You're saying that the man has lived and continues to live a good life?
If the owner's almost 90 or whatever he is, I mean, maybe the doctors are good then.
And the son, apparently the apple does not fall far from that tree. As long as that organization is in the Angelos' family's hands...
Yes, it's not good.
It's not good, eh? To quote Phil Kessel.
They were good a couple of years ago.
They were.
Like they had one kind of...
2014, they won the division. They traded Eduardo Rodriguez, who is now a fixed member of the Boston Red Sox starting rotation, for Andrew Miller, who, of course, went on to New York and is now a Cleveland reliever.
Carmelo Anthony got traded today.
He did, but it's...
They're going to buy him out.
Atlanta's going to buy him out.
A paper transaction.
Exactly, which is what ESPN and The Watch was talking about a week ago, which is you get him off the books to help facilitate the Paul George re-signing. And Melo has been traded to Atlanta. The Hawks are going to waive him, eat the rest of his salary, which just had one year left on the deal.
And they basically got some picks. They got some picks.
Some picks. And now Carmelo is free to sign anywhere. That's the one guy. When you're judging a player, Gordon, you say, well, he didn't win. You know, Alex Ovechkin, well, he'd never won a Stanley Cup, right? Marcel Dion never won a Stanley Cup, but hockey's such a team sport. Basketball.
Yeah.
Five on the court, superstar-driven league. Carmelo Anthony, one of the great shooters of his era. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's undeniably, individually speaking, a great player. But did his greatness, I think there's an obvious answer to this question, did his greatness ever propel the Denver Nuggets to greatness? No. Ever propel the New York Knicks to greatness? No.
In fact...
And Oklahoma City's a different situation because he was by far not the best player on that team.
And his act in New York, you could argue, held them back at times. He was...
Well, James Dolan is a large part of that reason, too. But, yeah, I agree.
So
is Carmelo Anthony... Can you win with Carmelo Anthony? I think you can win with any player. But you can't win when Carmelo's your best player.
When he's your lead dog. So yeah, I mean, can you win with Allen Iverson? Could you win with Allen Iverson? Probably, if you had other players around that would hold him in your orbit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you use the Phil Kessel example.
You can win with Phil.
Sure.
You can win with DeMar. But not if he's your best player.
Okay, they lost to one. I mean, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I just...
I think,
that's not a slay gun, guys, because there's only...
I just think there's too much being put on that one loss to Cleveland.
Mm.
You don't. I mean, I get it. I just think one of the greatest players... You can argue the greatest player in the history of the NBA beat you almost single-handedly.
Yeah. But Indiana and Boston...
So the
Raptors were the rotten piece of bologna in that sandwich.
What was the record against the rest? They were what?
Well, what'd they lose to Golden State in four straight? So 6-10.
No, that'd be better than that because they beat the Raptors. Against the rest. Well, hang on.
Well, they went seven games with both Indiana in the first round, Boston in the Eastern Final.
They won eight games.
That would be six games. No, correct. Eight games. Yeah, I can't do math.
Eight.
See, this is what you do to me. You make me count when I'm live on the air.
So eight, that's eight wins.
Yeah.
Eight and ten.
There you go. 8-10 against non-Raptors playoff opponents.
So I'm hesitant to judge individuals based on team accomplishments because I think the old line I've used is if you think the measure of a player is Stanley Cup wins, then you think Murray Wilson was better than Doug. Murray won three Stanley Cups.
Hockey's different.
It is. Hockey's very different. I mean, lots of great players won't win in hockey. I get that. Baseball, same thing. Football, same thing. Dan Marino has had a great career. It's not his fault they didn't win the Super Bowl. Couldn't play, he's not playing defense. Basketball would be the closest team sport where you could say, because there's a direct line between outstanding individuals and championships. Now, you got to be careful now because there's a super team.
Which skews everything.
I'm just
talking about.
It's a little bit like being David Ferrer in tennis.
I have kicked that name multiple times on the air.
Now,
David Ferrer.
I'll just say this. David Ferrer is a great tennis player. Been for the last decade, been a terrific tennis player. Most people haven't heard of him. The big four, Djokovic, Murray, Nadal, Federer, have accounted for the last 16 Wimbledon titles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Dominated.
So, that doesn't make him a lesser player. It just means he played in an era with... So, I mean, in Carmelo's case, I would say this. The door was pretty open there for a while because there was a lull there where, right, post-Jordan, post-Kobe, post-Shaq, there was a lull there. I saw him one night in Denver, though. Man, that guy could shoot.
Oh, he can shoot a basketball. There's no question about it.
Unbelievable.
All right, Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. The problem with Gord Miller riding his bike to and from work tomorrow, which I fully expect will happen, is that he won't be able to get to that Blue Jays-Orioles game on time.
Well, you know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, you've gotta make decisions and you gotta have priorities.
The second half is coming in hot. The J's and O's kick off a 3-game set down at the Dome tomorrow night.
Hey, you know what? I did a J's series against the Orioles at the end of the season, like 2011 or 2012, when they were combined like 65 games out of first place. I mean, there was nobody at Camden Yards.
Mm-hmm. There's nobody at Camden Yards anytime.
Frank Thomas hit a home run off a young Blue Jay pitcher that might still be rolling down the streets of Baltimore, for all I know. I mean, he hit that thing right in the mind.
Jays and Orioles tomorrow night.
Let's head down. We'll go watch the game. We'll sit in the stands. We'll drink beer.
Absolutely. And you know what we'll do? From the 401 in McCown where we are, we'll ride our bikes to the game, and we should be there
just in time
for the final pitch. And you know what? That works for me. Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller, Overdrive, TSN 1050. The Rolling Stones.
Thank you.
Not metal.
No, they're not metal. I blew off my grade 11 exams to watch them in Boulder, Colorado. That was a mistake. Thought it was their last tour. It wasn't. And
Announced that it was their last
tour?
No,
Rolling Stone magazine said it was, and you thought Rolling Stone magazine might know, same name, but no. We drove it in a Datsun B210 from Edmonton to Boulder, Colorado. It's a long trip in a small car.
Just for reference, you were heading to Boulder from Edmonton, not from Toronto. In case there's anyone listening who isn't familiar with the fact that you're from
Edmonton. Edmonton. Yeah. I was smaller then. I was about 5'6" then, but yeah, it was... we had the worst seats in the house, and
the height thing was that relevant to what?
Well, it's a small car, so
tucked into the vehicle.
I fit okay. better. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. By the way, you're bearing the lead here because you don't want to discuss it. But we are now up to 851 votes. We've got to get to 1,000
by 6:45 for me to ride my bike.
1 hour and 6 minutes and 30 seconds. So 1 hour, 6 minutes and 30 seconds to get 149 more votes in.
Yeah, I will say this: if it's going to rain, I'm going to wave my. I will ride my bike at some point if we get 1,000 votes. You can't vote.
I'm not voting.
Okay, but if
I'm checking the Weather Network app.
But if it's going to rain tomorrow, I will ride my bike sometime in the next 7 days.
So we're 149 votes away from this happening because 87% are on board with yes.
Skip the Dishes better fortify me tomorrow. I better carbo load tomorrow and Skip the Dishes.
We've got a nice-looking morning. We've got a nice-looking afternoon. We have an advertisement popping up, which is harshing my mellow. No rain tomorrow,
okay,
Gord.
My mentions are blocked, so what are some of the responses? Like, what are people saying?
There are not a lot of write-in responses.
Okay, they're not.
Not a lot of write-in responses.
I think
Brian would, and I read this in the last segment, Brian would like you to get off your wallet and buy a second car, but we know that there are parking issues. And so, there you have it. Did you see what went down in Ottawa last night when Toronto FC and Ottawa Fury
playing
in the Canadian Championship? Or this is the precursor to
the CONCACAF
trying to qualify for CONCACAF Champions League, which captured the city's imagination back in the winter as Toronto FC almost advanced to the tournament. I think in the UAE. In December, Almost happened, but it didn't, unfortunately, even though they won the last game they played and then got beat out on penalty kicks. But anyway, and I want to be correct about this because I don't want to say that people who didn't do this did. I believe it's the inebriati, the true diehards. They sit at the south end
of BMO, yeah. So the lakeside.
Yeah, and they're rowdy and they're into it and all that. But you know, it's funny. We live in a day and age, Gord, where if you have like even a remote titanium plate in your forearm from an old surgery, the metal detectors will go off at all these stadia, and you got to stand in line for hours. Yet fans are somehow able to get flares into this place. They set a fire or two. I guess one of the supporters' flags or something went up in flames, yeah. And it was a bit of a scene.
So here's the thing, and I think that it's a very fine line you got to walk, because I've been to Toronto FC games, really enjoyed it. There is, though, an edginess to it. That would make you nervous at times in certain sections to take your family.
You'd never sit with the inebriati if you had a little kid that you were taking.
If you didn't know. I mean, here's the thing. What if you didn't know? What if you just, you know, got tickets or bought tickets and didn't understand that and were, you know, relatively new to it? I've been to Buffalo Bills games where the behavior in the stands was frightening. And I've been in the middle of English soccer riots. I've seen hooligans in England. Like, I've seen that stuff. But I've been to Bills games and other places. I mean, Oakland, you know, the Black Hole, things like that, which are, you want it to be fun. You want it to be young. You're trying to appeal to a young, all sports want the young demographic. They want young men, and I hate to say this, but they want young males. And so have a good time, drink it up, party it up. We're the place to be.
Choke slam each other through tables, Bills Mafia.
Yeah, dude,
do the whole thing in the tailgate.
But at what point does it become the kind of place where only young 20-somethings want to go and there aren't enough of them to fill it out because other people simply won't go there?
The stupidest thing is that I would have to consider strongly whether or not I would wear, and I've been very open about who I cheer for in sports, and I'm a diehard 49ers fan. And I got a buddy who's a diehard Eagles fan. And I'm not talking about anybody we work with, even though half the people at TSN 1050 are Eagles fans, based on the garb they wear every day, reminding us that the Eagles won the Super Bowl about five, 6 months ago. But I got a really good buddy who's an Eagles fan, and we've talked in the past about maybe trying to make it a thing where, you know, if the Eagles are on the schedule to play in Santa Clara, we'll head out to the Bay Area, do a weekend, and catch the game. Or if the 49ers go to Philadelphia, we'll make a point of, you know, jumping in the car or taking the short flight, ride our bike, whatever the case may be, go see the game. There's no chance in hell I would wear anything red, let alone with 49ers on it at the link. No chance.
No.
Why would I do that?
Right. So I don't mean to sound like, you know, the morality police. I'm just saying that there are large segments of the population that would view, like, I've been to TFC games and I've enjoyed it. I think it's a great atmosphere. It's terrific. I've sat sort of midfield, you know, away from the two ends, and I find them amusing, and I think the chants are funny, and the singing's great, and it's a great atmosphere. But I do think that at times teams turn a blind eye to behavior, and then when it boils over, you can't be surprised. And my understanding is TFC's taken some steps.
Well, and I believe Toronto FC has been encouraged on multiple occasions by Major League Soccer to
tone it down,
restrict the behavior of, you know, some of the diehard
tossing
supporters.
You know, the toilet paper tossing,
that to me is relatively harmless, the toilet paper tossing. But if we're talking, and I'm not saying this has happened because I don't know for a fact, but if we're talking batteries or projectiles, yeah, things that can really hurt people, not a good idea, and can't happen.
No, and
it
so
can't happen.
So I mean, and yet, what's the biggest complaint about Leaf games? Crowd's dead. So,
yes.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't say it, you know, you got to find the balance.
Well, you can, though, Gord, because the crowd, you're hoping that the crowd is into it, but you're hoping that the crowd isn't threatening the health and safety of A, the players, or 1A, people sitting around them. Like, I think there's a reasonable happy medium there where you can be loud and you can be boisterous and you can root on your team, but you don't have to potentially be taking the lives of others into your own hands.
Right.
That's where that line gets crossed, and that's why I say I would never go. I remember going to a Niners-Jets game in 2012 with a buddy who used to work here at TSN 1050.
In New York?
In New York, in the Meadowlands. And he said, Scotty, don't. Just wear like a green T-shirt. You can cheer for the 49ers quietly as the game's going on, but just wear something. Doesn't have to say Jets. Doesn't have to be a Jets jersey, yeah. But just wear green. Just to keep it cool. Like, that's you have to think about these things.
Oh, for sure. And in England, you got to be careful. Like, you walk in, you go to a Chelsea Liverpool match wearing your red jacket.
Yeah.
Now Chelsea's pretty highbrow. And the one thing is that ticket prices have largely priced a lot of those people out. I mean, it's sad to say it, but it has. I mean, ticket prices are so high now that, the kind of people that would cause that trouble for the most part aren't getting in. They can't afford it. It's mostly corporate. Well-heeled people. Although, I will say this, the English riot in Marseille in 1998 at the World Cup, the people that were arrested, like an RAF pilot, a lawyer, doctors, teachers, like it wasn't coal miners from Newcastle.
Mm.
So there is a balance to be had, but this endless chase of the young male at all costs. Like, I remember when the mayor of Buffalo got mad that the OPP set up ride programs across the border from Bills games. He called it predatory policing. No, they're trying to catch drunk drivers. Yeah, I mean, remember when NBC flexed a Bills game into Sunday night? You know, NBC can flex games.
Late in the season, yeah.
They moved a Bills game into Sunday night because the Bills were in contention. And they said there'd be $200,000 in additional policing costs for a night game as opposed to a day game. Because that's how much more trouble there is when the fans have had a few more hours to drink.
Yeah. All right, we're going to update the poll.
Uh-oh.
On the other side.
I don't like the sound of this at all.
I'm feeling very encouraged about the direction this is headed. Should Gord Miller ride his bike to work tomorrow? At Overdrive 1050, at Scotty Mac thinks, vote in the poll. We need to get to 1,000 votes by 6:45, and we are within 100. I will update it. This is Overdrive TSN 1050. By the way, let's just get real here about whether or not you want to ride this bicycle to work tomorrow. Are you pro this or anti this?
Well, I like riding my bike. I ride it all. I think it's a great way, to stay in shape when you're doing stuff. Like when I go to get my haircut, I ride my bike downtown. Right? It's a half hour there, half hour back, and it's good exercise. When I go to Sobeys, I wear my backpack. And
is this one of these non-answer answers?
No, I just...
Are you pro-riding your bike to work tomorrow?
I am. What I'm worried about is I'm thinking about the route. And I know that there's at least two valleys I have to go across or through, which are fairly significant hills. So I'm thinking that I'm going to get down at Sunnybrook Park, where TSN used to be like two buildings ago.
Okay, yeah.
So when I started TSN, we were on Leslie Street. It's now a BMW dealership, I think, but... You go through Sunnybrook Park, there's a big hill there, so I'd have to ride up that hill. Then I'd have to go there's another hill you got to go past in Scarborough to get up here.
You're scared of hills.
I don't love
you
them.
You don't like hills.
Well, I don't mind them. I just, I am coming to work.
The hills have eyes.
No, they don't. They're alive with the sound of music.
977 votes, 87% saying yes. We've got to get to 1,000 in the next 51 minutes by 6:45 Eastern.
Google Maps says an hour and 13 minutes.
Good to start checking Google Maps. I think we've got 23 more votes coming in at the very least.
So if I leave at 2:30, if I leave at 2:30, leave myself like a 5-minute break.
We like it.
Oh, brother. What do I get for this?
Marley Rivera to lead off the 6 o'clock hour from ESPN Deportes on Overdrive, TSN 1050.